fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Jesse Eisenberg is our cousin.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
It's our Wednesday show, Fantasy Football Today. Buy low, sell high. Thursday night preview. And oh my gosh, it's Jamie's birthday.
What?
Freak out.
What? Really? Did you really just make that noise?
Sorry, I guess I'm a little more excited than you guys are for Jamie's birthday.
How does Adam Azer sound on a roller coaster?
Thank you, I appreciate it. Really, really blown away by all the well wishes. And my wife is amazing with these little cards that she made. I'll tweet it out later. But thank you guys for all the kind words that you said. And I feel really special today. So thank you.
Yeah, it's his 40th birthday, and I asked our Twitter followers for your favorite Jamie Eisenberg memory.
Oh, jeez.
We're going to read those. You don't know that, Jamie? I figured that you saw my tweet.
No, I'm very bad at looking at Twitter.
Can I give my favorite Jamie Eisenberg memory?
Yeah, sure.
I might need Jamie's permission.
You have my permission.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Okay, we'll get to that later.
Okay, good. So that's coming up later. Jamie, he's going to tweet it out, but his wife sent these cards to a lot of people to write a little personalized message to Jamie for his 40th birthday. So I told Jamie that he's my start of the week every week.
Yes, you spelled my name wrong on purpose.
Oh, three times. Yeah.
Did you get when I said that to you this morning?
You said what to me this morning?
When I IM'd you this morning and I spelled your name wrong four different ways.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. I'm sorry.
How do you misspell Adam four different ways?
Well, I wrote A-D-U-M.
Ah, I get it now.
A-D-D-A-M. A-T-O-M. That's Adam.
Yes.
Atom.
Adam, as our good friend Nando would call him.
Now,
Adam says to me, did you hear from Nando yet? It says it's almost like their brains are in sync. As this is 7 o'clock in the morning. Nando texts me.
Yeah, simpatico. All right, so fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This is a bit of a crowdsourced show. I have a lot of your emails, a lot of your tweets. I want to talk about what you guys are talking about, including some of the Week 7 frequently asked questions. Before we get into it, now, I don't want to make people wait too long for buy low, sell high. That's kind of a big theme on Wednesday. Do you guys have any names off the top of your head that you want to make some trade offers for right now or try to trade away?
I'm still buying low on Alshon Jeffrey. You can't have that many yards and that few touchdowns. He's going to get in the end zone.
Makes sense. I don't know if I've got anybody that I'm trying to trade for.
Would you try to get Eddie Lacy cheap now?
I think people are going to start cutting Eddie Lacy because now that the rumor's out that he might go on IR, people are freaking. And if it happens, then.
But like if there's.
Like why would you try and trade for him now when there's a chance he can go on injury?
Like if there's somebody you're willing to cut. Like.
Your absolute
Kenneth
worst
Dixon,
player.
Wendell Smallwood. Guys that you were hoping that would do anything.
In exchange for.
Just
on the chance.
Just to see for a couple days, maybe a week. Who knows how long this gets stretched out.
I have made a lot of trade offers today trying to sell high on a few guys, and nobody's biting, so it's not doing any good. But Michael Thomas?
Yeah, I don't know. People aren't.
Nobody's
it's
buying
like
that one.
They haven't realized that he's scored in four straight?
Three straight.
Three straight?
You're trying to sell him?
Yeah. Jordan Howard.
That's a sell high.
Probably Howard is a definite
probably should have done it last week.
Yeah.
And then Hunter Henry. Because everywhere I have Hunter Henry, he's my backup tight end.
Right. And that's a premium now at that.
I was actually surprised I got him in a league where you let a tight end go.
Yeah, I know. but it wasn't Hunter Henry that I let.
No, I'm saying I got him in a league where you didn't have him.
Oh, right. Because I was hoarding tight ends for some stupid reason. Right. I'll give you one more name, Adam.
Yeah.
How about Latavius Murray as a buy low? Because there isn't a running back in Oakland who's doing anything special right now. And the more that DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard play poorly, the more the Raiders might cling to Latavius Murray when he gets back from his toe injury.
Yeah, we got an interesting tweet from Frank Marinello. Is Kristen Michael a sell high? And then he said Pete Carroll keeps saying he wants a running back by committee, which I didn't see. And
I don't believe anything Pete Carroll ever says ever.
But he did say
ever?
Their schedule's
ever.
Tough. And that's true for Kristen Michael. Their schedule does get tougher. He only has one game with more than 64 rushing yards. It came against San Francisco, a road game for San Francisco. We know how bad they are on the road against the run. They're at Arizona this week, at New Orleans. That's great. Buffalo, at New England, Philadelphia, at Tampa Bay, Carolina, at Green Bay, the Rams and Arizona in week 16, and then at San Francisco in week 17. So it's not a great schedule for him. Do you guys think Kristen Michael is a buy low or sell high candidate. I just want to also say we should point out he did well against the Jets. That was a tough matchup. He scores every week. But you guys, let me know what you think about Kristen Michael.
Is there really, outside of maybe five guys at this point, that there isn't really like a running back that qualifies as a sell high candidate? I was going back to the Melvin Gordon discussion from a week ago.
Right.
There's so many guys in that group, like, that are outperforming what they've done before previously.
Right.
Like, I think at this point, you know, Le'Veon, David Johnson, McCoy, Murray,
Zeke. That's your five.
That's it, right?
Those are the five best.
Like everybody else kind of falls into sell high, buy low.
You're right. I'm just trying to look
even
at guys
Lamar Miller
that I'd rather have. I'd rather have Miller than Michael, I think.
Yeah, I guess Miller's there, but like, you got to say Gurley's a buy low, right?
Yeah.
You got to say
Freeman.
Huh?
Freeman is what he has been.
Devontae Freeman?
Yeah.
But wouldn't you say
he's had a bad game last week.
But wouldn't you say he's more just based on what we saw last year? He did this for a little bit.
Do you think he's still high?
Maybe. Just because, I mean, if Coleman continues to take on more work, I don't know. He's kind of toeing the line a little bit.
Right.
But you just think about this whole group of guys. Howard, the guys we all just mentioned. You know,
Howard's a sell high.
Howard's
say
a sell
what
high.
They are as you name.
Melvin Gordon's a sell high.
Yes.
Carlos Hyde?
You would say Mark Ingram's a buy low. Todd Gurley's a buy low. Like
where does Hyde fit?
Hyde's right there where he belongs.
I think Hyde's a sell high because just the injury fact. He's already dealing with it. He's got his arm in a sling.
Well, you can't sell high on
but
him.
But that's what I'm saying, though. At some point, he's never done this before.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think it's just a better strategy to say, I have a running back who's going to get a lot of work. I don't care about the matchups. I'm holding on to him. I need that running back.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I feel about Gordon. That's why, you know, this whole conversation going back to last week, like, I don't know that I was going to trade Melvin Gordon, you know, and Heath brought up some good examples. Clearly, you know, if you get Lamar Miller for Melvin Gordon, you make that trade. Mark Ingram, I think, was somebody. Maybe Jamal Charles with the hope that he bounces back to what we think he can be. But there was like such a small sample size of guys that you would say, I'll give up exactly what Adam just said. A guy who's getting work and producing and doing those things. It's a weird year of saying sell high on any of these guys because they're producing.
Yeah, I'm trying to package. I have one league where I have some good running back depth, and I'm trying to package, like, look, I made these offers. They were Azer offers. They got rejected. But I tried to package, like, Melvin Gordon and – it's actually not that bad. Melvin Gordon and James White in a PPR league for Ezekiel Elliott, for Rob Gronkowski, trying to get an elite player. Got rejected. Now it's time for me to counter. But that's what I'm trying to do. But it's not that I don't want those guys on my team, even if I think they're overperforming. And like when Heath was talking about sell high on Melvin Gordon, it wasn't like he's going to stink all year. It was see if you can get someone great for him. So just keep that. I guess that's the context that you need to keep in mind. Hey, Nile Davis is the most added player. And let's talk about adds and drops from yesterday and what we saw. How much did you bid on Nile Davis, Jamie, in our podcast league?
I think it was 41.
All right.
I had $59 remaining and I think I bid 41.
All right,
but this is a weird team for me because I'm pretty much like in a bubble with this team because I have my two running backs are the Dallas and the Broncos guys, and I have both handcuffs. I have two elite receivers and then like good depth there. I've already passed my bye week with Aaron Rodgers, so it's a very like encapsulated team, and so like I don't need to go out. So like this was like a good opportunity to spend some money just in case.
Okay,
so I spent it.
All right, so what do you guys think about Nile Davis, who really has never been that good? Good for fantasy that one year he had a three-week stretch, 2014, where he got a ton of touches, but yards per carry have been terrible. He fumbles. Welcome to the Packers, Nile Davis. What do you guys think?
He's kind of been a little bit Melvin Gordon.
That's like, a great way of putting it.
When he gets the work, really he scores a lot of fantasy points, but his yards per carry are, I think, remarkably similar. I have a hard time believing he's going to get there and in 2 days know enough to get a lot of work.
But this isn't really a short-term.
No. If Lacy's deal is really a month-long type situation, and by next week we could see Melvin Gordon as a flex to, or that was funny. I wish I meant to do it as a flex type play.
It's
funny
the way you did it though.
So I got some stats for you on Nile Davis. He's had 8 career games where he's had at least 10 carries. 10 carries. That's all we're looking for from Nile Davis. Mm-hmm. He scored at least one touchdown in 6 of those 8. He's had 10 or more fantasy points in 7 of those 8. But in those eight games, he's averaged 3.7 yards per carry, which is higher than his career rushing average, which is 3.3 yards per carry. Clearly, he needs touchdowns. But he's got fresh legs. He's got a good offensive line in front of him. He's got a tired Bears defense in front of him.
If he gets the work.
If that's the whole thing. If he gets the work. We know he doesn't know the playbook. That means he's not going to play on passing downs. That's going to be Ty Montgomery territory.
I almost wonder, though, if they just go with a Montgomery, Cobb, Davis as the third guy option.
They've got one other running back there, right?
Don Jackson.
Don Jackson.
Don Jackson.
He's on the practice squad, though. They still have to make him active. Right now,
the theory is that they're going to put Lacy on IR to bring up Jackson.
Well, that'd be crazy. I mean,
unless Lacy's really.
Or they could put Starks on IR.
All right. Well, we'll talk about the game. We'll talk about him this week. But Niall Davis, give me some running backs you would drop for him. Let's start with like the Kenneth Dixon, Wendell Smallwoods. You got to drop.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right? Those guys.
Those are easy. I think it's
not going to pan out.
I think it's, you know, Rashad Jennings is easy to move on from, just to speculate.
Dwayne Washington?
Yeah.
If Washington
the problem
were healthy,
is that I might go back to Washington. Yeah. I might go back to everybody we've named except for Jennings.
If Washington were healthy, who would you prefer?
Washington.
I would take the chance on the unknown, which would be Davis.
Okay. They're both.
Because I'll take the running back who's going to score in Detroit.
But Riddick's not done. It's not like Riddick's out for the season.
We don't know how long Riddick's going to be out. We don't know how long Washington's
right, that's the thing. Like, I would approach it, I would take the unknown on the better offense.
Yeah.
Just to see.
The Raiders rookies, I'd cut them for Niall Davis.
Okay. All right. So Davis is 43% owned. He's the most added player. Who else did you guys add yesterday? Anybody that we did not cover in yesterday's show? There was one guy I wanted to talk about. Just, it's a desperation play, but it's Brandon LaFell. I picked him up in a couple of deep leagues, and he's got the Browns. The Browns have allowed two pass catchers to have double-digit fantasy points every week. So it's either been two wide receivers or a wide receiver and a tight end. Jordan Reed, Rob Gronkowski, and Martellus Bennett, and one other tight end, Dennis Pitta.
Pitta hasn't scored yet this year.
What's that?
Didn't he have over 100?
No, but he had double-digit fantasy points. I'm sorry. Did I say score? Yeah, it's double-digit fantasy points. He had 100 yards or something. So anyway, my point is, I don't think the Bengals are going to get their tight ends involved in this game. I think LaFell's got a good chance to score double-digit fantasy points if you're taking a flyer on someone. Anybody for you guys?
I like the call. The one thing is, though, Tyler Boyd had his most involvement, I think, since week one or week two last week. And so I wonder if it's him and not necessarily LaFell, even though LaFell is the one that scored the touchdown.
Yeah.
Adam, I got some breaking news that you won't find anywhere but on this podcast.
Ooh, okay.
I got a little birdie telling me that Doug Martin is still hurt.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. So get Quiz.
We ranked Quiz, and I think he's going to stay where he is in our rankings at this point. Let's just wait and see. The birdie could be wrong.
But he still should be picked up everywhere.
Jacquizz Rodgers?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Would you start Niall Davis or Jacquizz Rodgers?
Rodgers. I know what I'm getting.
But you don't, because we don't know if Martin's going to be out. It's a Thursday game.
If we're assuming that my source is accurate, and we're going to know in a couple of days whether or not the source is accurate.
We don't have time for that, though. It's a Thursday game.
We'll know today if he practices, and we'll have the Thursday practice report.
If he doesn't practice today, Martin, you're planning on Davis being your starter tomorrow.
What do you mean?
If Doug Martin does not practice today, your fantasy team is planning on starting Niall Davis in the Thursday.
Oh, sure, but what if I've got Davis and Rodgers? Like, I thought that's where we were coming.
That's what I meant. Yeah, Davis and Quiz.
Yeah, I agree. If Doug Martin doesn't practice by Thursday, then Niall Davis definitely has to be the guy that you put in your lineup. And if you're debating between Niall Davis and Jacquizz Rodgers, I think you're waiting for Jacquizz.
Okay. Anybody, Heath, any interesting ad drops that we didn't talk about yesterday?
No, I got outbid on, like, everybody that I bid on over the last night, so apparently I'm just going to end the season with like 75% of my fab, which is really fun.
You got to spend that money, buddy.
Yeah. I think the most that I put in for Niall Davis was right around 20, 25, and did not get him anywhere.
Yeah, people really overspent for him. I spent a lot for Jack Doyle in a couple of leagues.
I did get Jack Doyle in a couple of leagues.
What did you pay?
I got him in two leagues where I was just on the priority night. It was in fab.
Oh, I see.
And same thing with Niall Davis. I got him in one where I was 0-6.
There's a couple
it's
of
gonna help a lot.
I got aggressive and I put in over $20 bids for Jack Doyle. But in the podcast league,
$20 for out of 100?
Yeah. One was out of 300.
Oh, okay. That makes
sense. That's fine. Right. And then the other one I think was out of 100. So
really?
I put in like 21. I needed a tight end. And it's not the league where I had four of them. Yeah. And then in our podcast league, my buddy Chris, who runs the league with me.
The team.
Put in the team with me. Sorry, Adam.
I run the league.
Yes, Commissioner Adam, his power must not be usurped. $11 is what it took to get Doyle rules.
I got Jameis in the league where I've just been streaming quarterback. So I started Carson Wentz the last 2 weeks, and somebody dropped Jameis because it was bye week. And so now I move on to Winston. And hopefully he takes advantage of the schedule that's in front of him.
Oh, I really wanted to talk about that. His next three games are Jameis Winston at San Francisco, Oakland, and Atlanta. Two home games, one road game. Looks great, and I did put in a claim for him in one league. He's 89% owned, so a lot of people won't be able to get him. But just wanted to bring that up. That yeah,
I hope Dirk Cutter lets him throw. Because last time we saw him, there was not a lot of trust right there.
That Monday night game?
Well, he looked awful. He missed several throws.
Yeah, no, he struggled.
He's played two really great games and three really awful games.
Yeah, one of those was against Denver. So
right, okay.
Yeah. So there was one other guy. I just read a quick little blurb. It was like one sentence in the New York Post that said the Giants want to get Paul Perkins more touches. We talk about stashing Devontae Booker. We talked about a lot of running backs. We haven't really talked much about stashing Paul Perkins. They have a bye after this game against the Rams, and I just wonder, you know, if Rashad Jennings isn't getting it done, Darko got pretty much no work last week. Do you think they could just maybe just go to Paul Perkins? Is he a good stash candidate?
I mean, I'll go back to the preseason. You know, I thought he was their most talented running back just based on Jennings being older. And, you know, we had this discussion, which Adam, you know, you were clearly right that they were going to stick with Jennings. You have to wonder though, if also for Jennings, does the extra time off after this game get his hand right? And then he's back to where.
Does it matter? I mean, his hand isn't the problem.
No, but you know, time off again. We don't always get the situation where John the Stewart walks off the street, faces the Saints, and goes for 85 and two touchdowns. You know, sure. Most of these guys take the game after the extended absence to shake off the rust. And so, if he has another dud this week, I don't know is it really all on him or is it the offensive line? Because last year, you know, we saw the same guy at the end of the season, 100 yards or a touchdown. You know, so. Yes, it would definitely help to get some juice back there. You know, a little younger, fresher legs, and Perkins could potentially be the answer to their problems. But you still got to factor in Bobby Rainey's going to play on passing downs. I just don't know if Paul Perkins is going to all of a sudden step in and be like a must-start fantasy guy.
Okay, Week 7 FAQs, frequently asked questions. I'm going to let you guys fill in the blank. This I've gotten so many times. Can I start blank and blank this week?
Devontae and Tevin.
No.
Falcons running back.
Spencer and Jamal.
Yes, Spencer and Jamal. Can I start Spencer Ware and Jamal Charles this week?
Absolutely. I think you can. Yep.
Who do you like better, Ware?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, did Andy Reid say that Jamal Charles is still not ready for a full workload?
That's what he's saying.
Yeah. But, you know, he says did he say he's not ready, or they don't want to give him a full workload?
They think he's ready. He thinks he's ready. They don't want to push it. And I really think you have to take into consideration when the big disparity in touches last week happened. It was the second half of the third quarter and the whole fourth quarter on a terrible field with a game that was decided.
I love this. If I was a Chiefs fan, I hate this as a fantasy.
Yep. I think it's going to be pretty close to 50-50.
Well,
it will, and it's going to take game flow to determine it.
And look, Ware's got a fumble problem, so if he fumbles, that'll be the end of him for probably a significant stretch. But
please fumble.
this is you know, they're headed. They should be a playoff team. They should be a playoff contender for sure. And you want Jamal Charles right, December, January, and however far they go. Clearly, you can run Spencer Ware to the ground now, and make sure that guy is that the better talent is ready. Not to say Spencer Ware is a bad talent, because he's been exceptional and he's their future. But for this point forward, you want to see.
Well, maybe you run Charles into the ground late because they can walk away next year and save like $7 million and not cap it.
Sure.
Well, let me ask you this. Give me your thoughts on those two guys rest of season. How do you view Spencer Ware and Jamal Charles?
I think Charles still has the most value because I don't expect him to consistently be around 10 carries a week. Eventually, the Chiefs are going to be in a game and they're going to put Jamal Charles on the field. The last 2 weeks haven't been, or the last two games for Kansas City, haven't been nip and tuck close games. One was the blowout at Pittsburgh. Well, they're not going to run Jamal Charles out there in his first game when there's nothing to play for. And they're not going to do it when they're up big against the Raiders on a bad field in the rain. They're protecting their prized possession. They will use their prized possession. I've got the Chiefs schedule right here. at Indianapolis in week 8. Maybe that's the game that they really get him going, because they're going to need him.
Who's better rest of season?
Charles. I'd rather have Charles than Ware rest of season.
Is anyone a top 12 running back in that backfield?
Does anyone get hurt?
When the matchup's right, yes. Ware is a top 12 guy this week.
Yeah. I've got him right
on the board. I'm sorry. I mean rest of season. Like, all these guys we've been talking about, Melvin Gordon, Kristen Michael, Jordan Howard.
No, like what he said, there needs to be an injury, because they're not going to completely shelve Ware unless he has, you know, consecutive games with fumbles. I think that the nice thing about it is that they'll lean on both guys. One could, you know, maybe separate in the passing game. The unfortunate thing is, you know, just sticking with the theme of the show, you missed your window to buy Spencer Ware low. Like, he was cut in a few leagues, and obviously whoever picked him up is thrilled about it. But you had the chance as a Jamaal Charles owner, with the news of him getting, you know, 100% and blah, 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 everything going into last week. You had a window there to buy Spencer Ware as cheap as you can get him. And now that price has skyrocketed.
All right. The other FAQ. Am I crazy? This one is from BDub89, but there have been so many like this. Am I crazy to sit Drew Brees for Marcus Mariota? And it's really just a, should I sit Drew Brees on the road question, guys? And where do you guys fall on that?
You're crazy. I think that's crazy.
I don't think it's crazy.
It's a tough matchup. It's a tough venue. There are guys who have the opportunity to play better. Like, would anybody be surprised if Andy Dalton against Cleveland is better than Drew Brees against the Chiefs?
Definitely not.
No? Would you be surprised if Mariota keeps this up?
But would you be surprised if Brees is better than Dalton? Like, I think it's just a...
No.
No, I don't think so. I have Brees ranked ahead of those guys. I just think that, you know, if you're looking at it, first off, everybody who plays on our site, and I'm assuming this is the same with most sites, but I know ours, we display our projections prominently. Brees is projected very low this week. And so if you have Brees and Mariota, or Brees and Dalton, or Brees and Alex Smith, you know, I'm just Brees and Jameis. I'm thinking of the guys who are highly projected right now. That number skews your mind. You know, you look at it and you say, well, Brees is, I think Brees is like 14 points. And Alex Smith is over 20. Jameis is, I think, right on the cusp of 20. Certainly Mariota and Dalton are over 20. And you're seeing, you know, Dalton, two straight games of 20-plus points. The Browns stink. Mariota, two straight games of 30-plus points. The Colts stink. You know, it's something that, you know, people rightly should consider.
Yeah, I mean, look, Drew Brees last year threw 32 touchdowns, 9 of them on the road. He had an 87.7 passer rating on the road, 112.5 at home. And this year, he's had two road games. He scored 16 points at the Giants and 16 points at San Diego. So it's not crazy, but Brees is a top five quarterback for you, for all three of you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Top five. He's fifth.
Fifth for Dave, third for Jamie, fourth for Heath. So average of 4. I want to tell y'all about the Roughing the Passer podcast. Twice a week, maybe 3 times a week going forward. It's really good if you love football. And that yesterday, Will Brinson had, first he had Pete Prisco on. They talked about Aaron Rodgers. They talked about a lot of things. Then he had Dak Prescott on for about a 10-minute interview. So if you're a Cowboys fan or just a football fan, you want to hear from Dak Prescott, Will asked him about Romo. He asked him about everything, offensive line. So check that out, Roughing the Passer podcast. Go to cbssports.com/podcast and subscribe to any of our shows. Fantasy Football Today is live at noon Eastern on cbssports.com Monday through Friday and 11 a.m. Eastern on Sunday. And Ion Fantasy Football is our Saturday night radio show, 10 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports Radio. You can go to cbssportsradio.com. You can listen there, or you can find out which station it might be on in your market. The news and notes. Gary Kubiak wants to get Devontae Booker more touches. He is 62% owned. Would you guys rather own Booker or Nile Davis?
Davis. There's clear path to starting right now.
I agree.
All right.
That being said, I would not drop Booker to pick up Davis unless I needed a starter.
Okay. Antonio Gates says he's still not 100% healthy. He hurt his hamstring in week 2, so.
Dumpski.
Yeah, I can't believe I had to pick him up this week. That sucked. You know, Jamie wanted actually to talk about what we saw on the waiver wire yesterday and teams, fantasy owners adding certain players over. What were you saying, Jamie?
I noticed a lot of our leagues, and this is just our leagues, people picking up the Bengals defense and passing on, like, Nile Davis or Cameron Meredith or, you know, in some cases, you know, they're Hunter Henry.
Right. And I wanted to, you know, it made sense for me because I picked up Antonio Gates in one league, and I also put in a claim in that league for, I think it was Hunter Henry. It was a better tight end. I didn't get him. But, you know, it just reminds me. So I could have picked up Nile Davis and Hunter Henry in that league. But let's say Niall Davis probably would have been a bench running back for me, and Henry would have been a starting tight end for me. I think that's a difficult choice that fantasy owners have to make.
Henry, to me, is a different category because Henry is better than Niall Davis.
All right, fine. I think even Bengals DST, you're trying to win a week, you know, let's say you're 2-4 or 3-3, and you've got a DST that you don't want, you got the Bengals, and you can pick up Niall Davis or the Bengals. You're saying that fantasy owners should lean toward the running back in that situation?
I'm just going to go, this is probably the one that jumped out to me. And again, I don't think it's wrong. It's just not the way I guess I would approach it. But here's the waiver, how it went in our FFT league, our fantasy football today league. So this is our entire staff. So one of our producers picked up Kyle Rudolph as the first ad drop, dropping Jason Witten. The second one was Chris Towers picking up the Bengals, dropping the Steelers. You had
like, why wouldn't you go with Niall Davis there?
You had the third claim and picked up Niall Davis.
Who? Me?
You. Adam, sorry.
Yeah, I think I actually put in a claim for Rudolph over Niall Davis, actually.
Okay, so I guess I'm just talking this out here. So then,
but it was a tough call.
The fourth claim was Jameis Winston dropping Blake Bortles. The fifth claim was Dave getting Cameron Meredith.
Yeah.
Then Will Brinson picked up Kenny Britt. Then I got Jacquizz Rodgers. Like, when I put in that claim, I'm like, there's no way I'm getting Jacquizz Rodgers.
Yeah, I was a little worried about Cameron Meredith just with Thursday night, how bad the Denver wide receivers were last week, then Minnesota, then a bye. I was a little worried. But no, I mean, look, everybody that you mentioned, it was actually a very difficult week for me to make my priorities, you know, in that particular league because I was balancing short-term need versus long-term value. And yeah, I mean, that is tough sometimes.
Here's another one. And Heath, you could talk about this because you did it yourself. So you took a defense over Niall Davis. So this is our two quarterback league.
Right.
The first ad was Jay Ajayi, which I don't think we could argue with here. You had the second,
league, by the way.
10 team, two quarterback, the PPR. You had the second priority off waivers. You took the Bengals DST.
Yep.
The third one was Chris Towers. He took Landry Jones. You have to need a quarterback. Again, Adam sneaks in with the fourth spot, gets Niall Davis. Dave, it's almost identical. Dave, fifth spot, gets Cameron Meredith. I got Hunter Henry in the sixth spot. And so it's, again, I would always lean toward talent, like especially in the DST case.
Right. No, I think that's got to be a situation where I just didn't know Cameron Meredith was on the waiver wire. Because I wouldn't. Now, the Niall Davis one, I don't know how excited I really am about him. I don't know what my running back situation is. It may. I know there were a couple leagues.
Well, this is interesting for you.
Where
I'm looking at your team right now.
Right.
You had a chance to get Henry.
Right.
Your only tight end is Olsen.
Oh, why would you get Henry if you have Olsen?
Because he's on a bye this week.
Oh, he's on a bye.
Oh, right. But then after that.
I know I had a couple of teams when I went through, and I'm doing 19 different waivers, so I probably just overlooked Meredith. But I looked at my skill position players, and I was like, I don't know who I'm going to drop. Now, this may not be one of those situations. So I'm not looking at that league.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I generally agree, especially with somebody like Cameron Meredith or Hunter Henry.
You know what bothers me the most, though? Heath is sitting there earlier in the show saying how he got outbid for Niall Davis in every league. What an insult! Because we actually got Niall Davis for $12 in the Rejects League, Heath.
Wow, only 12.
You know, on CBS Sports, you have the ability when you if you have a bunch of teams, you can pick which ones show up on the right when you put your name over your cursor.
It's not even what the Rejects League is not even one of those teams for you.
I've gone and hit hide this logo so that team doesn't
you
show
don't even
up
bother
anymore.
Oh man, yeah, 1 in 5 will do that too.
You are
I guess.
Rejecting the Reject League.
Yes. No, tough I ball. Didn't. I am very engaged, ready to go in that league.
I can tell.
What's your record now?
1 in 5.
1 in 5.
And we should be 0-6.
Antonio Gates. Oh, I mentioned that. Cameron Hayward will not play this week for Pittsburgh. Will Fuller expects to play. The Jets might not start Ryan Fitzpatrick. If they start Geno Smith, we have a one-game sample size with Smith threw 42 passes at Oakland last year. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think, threw 5 passes and got hurt in that game. Brandon Marshall had 9 catches for 108 yards on 18 targets. And Eric Decker scored a touchdown on 7 targets, 6 catches, 60 yards, and a touchdown. So I actually considered calling Brandon Marshall a buy-low candidate because he's only got 2 touchdowns this year. He's one of the league leaders in red zone targets. He looks good. I mean, when you watch him play, he looks like Brandon Marshall. What would a quarterback change do to his value?
At this point, nothing.
No.
I mean,
might help, right?
Who's the quarterback?
Well, I guess if it's Geno, then yeah.
Right. If it's Geno, I'm still comfortable with Marshall.
Yes.
But if it's Petty or Hackenberg, maybe not even Petty, because he wasn't bad in the preseason. But yeah, Hackenberg, and I'm sure that's the last option for the Jets at this point.
Yeah, I just, the way I look at it is there are not a lot of quarterbacks that are getting NFL checks that can play worse than Fitzpatrick is right now. And there's no one on the roster that can be an upgrade over Fitzpatrick because they are all terrible quarterbacks. So I don't know that it's going to make a difference either way.
Well, I mean, think about it, though. Before Geno Smith got punched in the mouth last year, he was the Jets starter.
Right.
Now, Fitzpatrick was coming off a broken leg, so maybe he wasn't up to speed. And we saw clearly that he was pretty good last year. But, you know, this coaching staff had evaluated that Geno Smith was their guy before he got punched in the mouth.
All right. Do you expect the following players? Emmanuel Sanders.
Yes.
Yeah.
Carlos Hyde.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Hopefully he plays with his arm out of a sling.
Jordan Matthews.
Yeah. So, yeah. He's just dealing with tendonitis. So he'll continue to stink.
Stephon Diggs.
Not as of now. Let's see what the practice report says.
All right. Andre Thielen should be on your radar. Charles Clay.
Yeah.
Jordan Reed.
No.
Eric Ebron.
No.
Also no.
Latavius Murray.
Shrug emoji.
Not yet.
Steve Smith.
No.
Guys, we're in the heart of football season.
We are.
Go to a game. Get out there. Enjoy it. If you need tickets,
we can't.
Wait a minute.
We work. We can't go out to a game.
I know. I wish we could go out to games.
But if I could, I would.
I use SeatGeek,
of course.
Yeah. SeatGeek will find you the best deals and save you $20 with our offer code FFT. And there's nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest plays of the year. I know this. I was just at a huge college football game, and the ending sucked, just a few weeks ago. But with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for a great value. I've got the app on my phone, so please download that SeatGeek app. Just check it out. You look for an event, you see a bunch of dots, and the green dots are the ones you want to focus on. The greener the dot, the better the value. So SeatGeek basically finds tickets for you, said, hey, these are the tickets that you want to buy. Get these tickets.
Does it actually say it? Like it talks to you?
There should be kind of a voice option in there, no?
Well, how would it sound?
These are the tickets you want to buy.
Like a robot? That doesn't sound cool.
All right, no, it would be like the Siri voice, I guess.
Okay.
And so like the red ones would be like, these are not the tickets
right,
you're looking for.
Exactly.
Right. The red ones is the crappy voice, but the green ones are like a soothing, cool.
Buy these tickets. No, but seriously, SeatGeek makes it very, very easy. And the best part is you get to save some money. With our offer code FFT, you save $20. You get a rebate after your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app, click add a promo code, enter FFT as in fantasy football today. SeatGeek's going to send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download that app, enter the promo code FFT. Chicago at Green Bay on Thursday. And last year they played on Thanksgiving on a Thursday, and it was bad for fantasy. 17-13, the Bears won in Lambeau. Eddie Lacy was really the only player in that game that did particularly well for fantasy. Alshon Jeffrey had a good game, didn't score. All right, which quarterback you like better?
Crazy. I'm not giving the answer. Really? Hoyer?
Of course, Hoyer.
No. It's Aaron Rodgers. Both teams are really beat up, especially in the secondary. So there should be ample opportunities for both quarterbacks. The difference is Rodgers, A, has an offensive line that can protect him, and B, he's got no run game, so he's going to have to throw a decent amount. I can't help but think that he'll find 2-3 touchdowns. Don't know if the yardage is going to be high. Could be around 225. I think he'll be fine.
Now, are the Bears in worse shape than they had been? Because really, you got to give them credit. They've been a solid defense this year.
Very average.
Average?
Very.
Okay, that's fine. And we don't know the status of two of their corners, Bryce Callahan and Tracy Porter. Neither one has practiced so far. We'll see if they practice on Wednesday.
Did they both play last week?
They both played, and I believe
Porter's the one that gave up the touchdown to Ben.
Right.
Okay.
So they've got a guy named Jacoby Green. Green? Is it Green? It's Glenn. It's Jacoby Glenn.
Sure.
Undrafted rookie corner. He's okay. But beyond that, they're in trouble. And I think that the pass rush isn't going to be there for them. Tough matchup for them defensively. Aaron Rodgers.
Is it though?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Randall Cobb should have a very nice game.
Listen, it all comes down to Aaron Rodgers not playing like a moron. And as long as he does a better job, the play calling's got to have some tweaks to it.
I think they're going to
be a little shy about running the football unless Niall Davis really knows what he's doing, or Don Jackson.
The play calling's not going to change.
No.
It should. a lot.
It should, but that's the thing. Like we've literally been saying this for over a year now about the Packers, and they're just not delivering as a fantasy offense. The Bears have done a nice job against Jordy Nelson. Talk about the wide receiver. I'm sorry. They've done a nice job against number one receivers other than T.Y. Hilton, who had that big play at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. Talk about the Green Bay wide receivers. Three of them are relevant in this game, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Because you've got Jordy and Cobb, and everybody's going to start them by default.
And Jeff Janis, right?
Ty Montgomery, possible passing downs running back for them. Got a lot of targets last week. Was fun to watch.
Have you moved him into a flex position yet?
I already had him ranked like in the low 30s. So I'm sorry, mid 30s. So I'll move him up a little bit.
I've got him right around 40.
I'm not there yet.
If he's going to get, he had three carries last week. I mean, he's probably going to get somewhere 5 to 7. He could be their primary running back for all we know.
Yeah, 5 to 7 carries is another 2 points probably, maybe three.
So I've got him 38th.
I've got him 40th, I think.
And where do you, Jamie, you've got him
36, high, I believe.
36, so right around that number three receiver. I think in PPR it's a little safer to go with him.
I think I like Cobb as a top 20 wide receiver this week.
I do too.
Bears have been terrible against the slot. I mean,
he's been getting good work.
Right.
He's top 15 for me in PPR.
Yeah. What about Nelson?
He's even higher.
Yeah, he's
not
he's
that much higher.
Borderline 13. Top 10.
All right, who would you start? Cobb, Nelson, Cameron Meredith. Well, let's throw the other Jeffrey in there too. Rank the four main wide receivers.
Packer, Bear. To me, I'm putting Cobb ahead of Alshon.
Jordy, Alshon, Cobb, Meredith.
Both Packers over the Bears, but I like all four of these guys in my top 20.
I just don't want to be too negative, but I'm just thinking about the Thursday night games, you know? When in doubt, Thursday's out. That's, you know.
Well, I mean, what have we seen so far? The Jets, Bills is the outlier?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, AJ Green had a huge game. AJ Green had a huge game. Larry Fitzgerald had a huge game. But John Brown, the quarterbacks were terrible in that Arizona game. So Arizona, San Francisco. Last week was a total dud. The Dolphins guys were awful. I don't know.
This might have the highest over-under of a Thursday game this year. I think it's up to 46 or 47.
No,
yeah.
You know what?
Think about the corners of this game. They're all missing.
Let's talk about
three guys, though, for the Packers.
I think what could decide this game, honestly, on the field, I'm not going to discount out Chicago, is the Packers' pass rush. And the Bears have only given up 12 sacks this year. I know Josh Sitton's hurt, right?
Yeah, he's not going to play. And to me, that's where I'm swayed. Because without him in there and with Ted Larson in there, it's a big target on them. It's going to hurt the run game for sure. It's going to hurt the pass. He's their best pass protector and their second best run blocker. That's according to Pro Football Focus. And if you look at the details, there's only one area where the Bears have run better between the tackles than with Josh Sitton. And that's the A gap to the right side of the center.
Okay.
It's got to be a tired Packers defense, though, after Dallas just ran and pushed them around.
Yeah, that's true. But the Bears have the exact same. It's such an unusual matchup because of all the injuries all over the place on both sides of the ball for both teams.
How do you feel about the running backs in this game?
Well, Nile Davis is something.
Well, Jordan Howard's
going to be your best one. I think a lot of people are going to start him. I think he's the number two this week.
I hope they go back to throwing the ball a little bit more.
Yep. To him or just in general?
To him. I mean, Hoyer's going to throw 49 times again. Yeah. He's done that two of the last three games.
Yeah, but Nile Davis is very interesting. I mean, give me some guys that you would start Nile Davis over. You would prefer Nile Davis over who?
Ryan Matthews.
Yep. Forte. Chris Ivory. Duke Johnson.
See,
I'm looking at standard leagues.
I'm not that there yet. I want to hear from the Packers that he's actually going to have a role in the offense.
They're not
going to
say
game.
That.
Right. I think there's a decent chance that Nile Davis gets
doesn't do much.
Two carries.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or doesn't even see the field.
You could get forsetted.
Right. So I'm not going to start him over a guy that I know is going to get 10 to 12 touches, even if they're not good.
Would you start Jordan Howard? Let's go back to him over the Minnesota running backs.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Would you start Jordan Howard or Cameron Meredith in a flex?
Meredith,
especially PPR.
Howard standard.
Zach Miller, top 10. Miller.
By default, yeah.
All right, so there's some news coming out of Green Bay that Don Jackson and Ty Montgomery were working with the first team offense yesterday.
Okay.
So it may not even be Nile Davis.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We may have to rank Don Jackson.
Yes.
We're going to have to add him to our rankings first.
That's true.
All right. So this might not be a good week for Niall Davis. We'll update you tomorrow. Lastly on this game, Green Bay's DST, they're 62% owned. 15th for Jamie, 11th for Dave, 9th for Heath. So if you need a DST, they might not be a terrible option. They have a good pass rush. And good run defense, too. All right. Some emails about this game. This is from Sean from Shark River Hills in New Jersey. Dear Brett, Aaron, and Bart.
Those are Packers.
Is that the
quarterbacks?
They're either Boones or they're this Packers quarterbacks. Do I start Cameron Meredith or James White in a flex?
I like White this week.
I like both of them this week, but I think White's safer.
I'm going to go White.
All right, this is from Sean in Charleston. Dear Charles, Shane, Danny, and Chris. Charles, Shane, Danny, and Chris.
Yeah, no, those are pass-catching running backs. Charles Sims, Danny Woody, Shane Free, Chris Thompson.
Right, good for you. Who do I start at a flex in a PPR? Randall Cobb, Cameron Meredith, Terrence West, or James White?
I go Cobb.
Cobb it is. This is from Xavier. Where's he from?
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Ty Montgomery or Crabtree or Tyrell Williams?
Crabtree.
Yeah.
Crabtree. Unless we get word that Ty Montgomery is the starting running back.
Jeff from Northern California. Hey, Mal, Zoe, Wash, and Jane. What the heck? No idea.
I'm going to guess those are cats.
Yeah.
You think so? Maybe. Okay.
Can I just say something first,
yeah,
real quick while we're here? For those of you that are going to ask, just in case it happens, if Ty Montgomery ends up as listed as the starting running back for Green Bay, we cannot change his position eligibility. So please save those questions.
Even if he gets 20 carries, it's not going to be running back next week either.
Right.
He's locked in as a receiver.
He's locked
for the rest
receiver,
of the season.
So just,
That's the rules we have at CBS.
I'll preemptively apologize, but I'll preemptively ask you don't send in those questions because there's nothing we could do. It's out of our control.
All right, by the way, these are characters from Firefly, whatever that is. And the question is, pick two, Meredith, Cooper, or Cooks?
Cooper and Cooks.
Okay.
Yeah. And Cooks.
Mm-hmm. Last one is from Patrick. Dear Jax, Juice, Chibs, and Tig. It's Sons of Anarchy. Sons of Anarchy. I finished season 6 last night. One more to go. I need a flex. Niall Davis, Devontae Booker, Ty Montgomery, Sterling Shepard, or Sammy Coates. Yeah.
That's gross.
I'd gamble on Montgomery.
It might be Montgomery now. I'll have to change my rankings to reflect that. But
I mean, just think about it. The guy got 12 targets last week. So it's not like we're just counting on him being a running back. Devontae Adams is probably not going to play. So, you know, he's just not dependent on, oh, by the way, let's hope he gets some carries.
What if we get Ty Montgomery at running back and Jeff Janis at receiver?
It's a weird world.
The internet will explode.
All right, guys. We got about 15 minutes left or so. I think it's time for our favorite Jamie moments. And then we're going to finish off the show with maybe a little more buy low, sell high, plus, I don't know. I think we'll do like a mini mailbag to end the show. So I asked people on Twitter some of their favorite Jamie memories. A lot of it involves Jamie laughing really hard. But here we go. This is from Pete. Last year on the radio show, Jamie got impatient with callers' pleasantries and would hang up on them if someone asked, "How's it going?"
Me?
Is that true, Jamie?
I don't recall that at all.
That's a Nick Costos move.
Yeah.
That happens on the radio with me in Washington all the time.
It happens with Scott Farrell, but he doesn't hang up on the people. He just tells them not to say pleasantries.
Lebatard hangs up on them. He used to anyway.
They don't take calls anymore.
They don't?
No.
No. All right. This is from Jason. Remember, these are favorite Jamie moments. When he turned me on. Oh, sorry, I forgot to read the rest. When he turned me on to taking two elite receivers at the back end of a shallow draft last year, I got Brown and Julio, hashtag champion.
That's a pretty good start.
From Carver, let him steal your wallet. From Mid-Major Matt, he despises Team Name Tuesday like the rest of us. From Young Adult, now you see me too. From Chris Tyrell, he and I share a birthday.
Nice.
Happy birthday, Chris.
Happy birthday.
From Texas Bruin, when Jamie and Dave went at it over James Starks on FFT, also when Jamie paid off a bet and played the saxophone.
Wow, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
That's old school.
That is a dedicated fan. Who was that?
Texas Bruin 67.
Oh, yeah. I know who that is.
Brent Lyons, I appreciate that he does a start of the week, picks one guy instead of picking 20, and cherry picking the two that hit. People do that?
I guess.
Yeah. This is from Jason. My favorite Jamie memory is when he was laughing so hard on the podcast he couldn't even talk. Priceless. Happy birthday, Jamie.
Which time?
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, last week.
Well, I guess the most memorable one has to be Nando's last show.
Oh, we're getting to that. We're getting to that. This is from Carla. A couple years back, Jamie was laughing so hard on the podcast about hiding your wallet, it gave my mom audible giggles in the other room.
Thank you. Great. Thank you to you and your mother.
This is from Anthony. Never forget when Jamie lost it when he saw the stain on Dave's shirt. Contagious laugh had me dying. Happy birthday, Jamie.
That was such a funny day.
This is from Kate.
Such a goofy day.
Jamie giggling like a schoolgirl when he showed up late to the podcast and stole your wallet. Yep, I remember that one.
That happened last
Eduardo.
Week. Last week.
Yeah, it was last week. Eduardo Espinoza. When Jamie couldn't stop laughing when you were telling the touchdown there story.
Oh, that's what it means.
Oh, man, so stupid. All right, Paulie P. This, how about this, Jamie? Let's see if you remember this.
Okay.
2008, I called a radio show he was on. A Romo versus a tough Ravens D or a hot Sean Hill on the Rams for the title. Jamie said, Romo, victory.
Nice.
Cool. From Bill Allison, the time when Jamie threw wings and fries at Dave at Hooters. Dave was pissed, LOL.
I was. That was so annoying.
I remember that.
I might be able to count on one hand the times I was annoyed with you, and that was one of them. And you weren't even, like, whipping them. You were, like, dropping them like you were, like, dropping cherry blossoms.
We did a preview show at – Yeah. Oh, you were there. Yeah. Oh. I forgot you were there.
It was at Orlando, and there were Hooters girls
Orlando?
It was in Orlando. We had to drive to Orlando. To shoot a video with Hooters.
Yes.
Hooters girls.
This is from Adam. The sound that Jamie uses when he used to cut a player. He hasn't done that in a while.
There it is.
From Victor Cruz for president. My favorite Jamie moment was hearing him laugh hysterically while Nando DeFino cursed up a storm on his final appearance.
This is...
I listened to that this morning. Quite funny. From John. I love Jamie's conviction, and rightfully so, that Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Oh. Easily.
No.
I may watch it tonight.
It might be a birthday movie tonight.
No.
From Ghoulish Beats. I love the year he orchestrated stuff on Dave's birthday, and you could tell Dave hated it, but Jamie couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah.
Dude, that was the best. Joe Polito actually tweeted a picture. I'll try to retweet it of what we did to Dave's desk. Dave hates his birthday. You want to, like, what? How many balloons?
We made a balloon enter its way.
It was like a rainbow of balloons.
Yes.
They basically like took my desk and put balloons everywhere.
Everywhere.
And we put your face on the balloons.
Yeah. We put his face on the balloons. We put pictures of his face in his desk drawers. We put pictures of his face around the buildings. So if you see this fantasy writer, please wish him a happy birthday.
Oh my God. And there's one on the door when you walk into the building. So I see it, and without like stopping, just rip it right down as I open the door, come to the office, and I'm not like Jamie. Like, he feels great on his birthday. I don't like celebrating my birthday. I am a ranting lunatic.
You were like Godzilla
screaming
in the movie. Like,
I was Godzilla. I was Godzilla, and poor Jamie and everybody felt my wrath. And now they know not to mess with me on my birthday. Thank you.
No, my partner in crime just moved to Houston. That's what the problem is.
The partner in crime almost got his tire slashed, so he's better watch it.
All right, two more here from Robbie John Garcia. I love the time Jamie was making fun of Adam when he caught you picking your nose. Classic.
Well, that's like every other week.
Jamie does that to people who aren't on the podcast as well. We've got all sorts of coworkers that Jamie catches them. We got a lot of never let it down. Everybody does it. I have to work real hard to make sure Jamie's not around when I pick. Like, I go to pick my nose, and I have to stop, and I'm like, where's Jamie? And he's sitting behind
me. It's not as bad as when we're right next to each other.
Use a Kleenex.
Okay, so last one. This one came via text message from someone I hadn't spoken to in too long. Girl who used to work with us, Lauren Shahadi. And Jamie, I will even let you have me edit this out if you don't want me to say it. I don't think you're going to care. But she said, when Jamie used to fart in the small coat closet of a studio we used to have back in the day, and I couldn't leave because we were on the air.
Jamie has this big, proud smile.
It's an internal video of this happening. When I told her, because we were sitting there forever, they were fixing the graphics for us, and I go, Lauren, I have to fart, I'm sorry. And she's like, basically, I think she almost told me, like, do what you have to do. And then I farted, and she just had this, like, oh, my God, reaction. But the video is hysterical because they were rolling on it. It was pretty funny. Like, she's just, like, fanning me.
Oh, my God. It's revolting. All right. Happy birthday, Jamie.
No,
we love you, man.
Dave's got his.
How much time do we have, Adam? I need to know whether I give the long version or the short version.
60 seconds.
60 seconds? We're driving back. We went to NYC for a commercial shoot. And we're in the cab on the way back, and we're in the middle of Queens, and we went to this diner earlier in the day, and all of a sudden, Jamie jumps out of the cab, and he runs.
Wait, just stop for one second.
It's a 60-second story,
no,
Jamie.
So on the cab ride, I have to go to the bathroom in the worst possible way, and Dave is like, Dave does this every year with me. Hey, let's go over our predictions for division.
Who do you think's gonna win?
So he's just rattling off. You know, like that point when you have to go to the bathroom in the worst possible way, and you can't deal with anything at all. And Dave is just like, NFC East, NFC West.
Who do you like?
NFC
I
South.
Like the Seahawks.
What about wild card?
Meanwhile, Jamie's clenching.
I'm like sweating, and I'm in a full suit.
You are. And so you ask the cab driver to pull over. First, you run into like a chicken and pizza restaurant.
Yes.
You run out of there. I'm wondering what the hell's going on. Then you run into this restaurant called Roady Bodie, and you disappear. And I don't know what the hell's happening, and neither does the cab driver. And we've got a plane to catch in like an hour and change.
Yep.
And finally, after I'm texting you, I'm calling you, not getting any response. Mm-hmm. Finally, after, honest to God, it had to have been 10 minutes.
Oh, it's probably 20.
You can't, you casually walk back into the cab like nothing ever happened. And you seemed relieved.
Oh, I was.
I bet you were. And off we go to the airport, and basically you had to tell me later on what went down, which
I walk into the restaurant, and it's like one of those places, like I walked in, and I was like, I'll buy whatever I have to buy. Where's the bathroom?
And so, in my mind's eye, you're screaming this.
Yes. Oh, no, I did. Like, where's the bathroom? And people are banging on the door. Get out of there. It was not fun.
Yeah. Did you have to buy anything?
I bought a Coke.
Oh, good for you. Okay. That was very, I love that story. I've heard it several times, but it's one of my favorites. And, Jamie's stomach always seems to make its way into the conversation. So any other buy low, sell highs or anything else? You know, there was one guy, two guys I wanted to talk about. Will Fuller. You know, he's been pretty good this year. He's played 5 games, not counting last week when he was active but didn't play. And was really good in 3 of them. He struggled at Minnesota, understandable. He struggled on Thursday night at New England. That was a terrible game for them. I kind of feel like nobody cares that much about Will Fuller right now.
Wait one more week and then just pick him up off the waiver wire.
All right, fine. Yeah,
that's a really smart call, because I think people will bail on him after the game at Denver, whether he plays or not.
People are dropping Sammy Coates, too. That's another guy.
And I wanted to mention that the San Diego passing game, they are set up for a beautiful 4-week stretch, weeks 13, 14, 15, and 16.
I actually borrowed Dave's Philip Rivers undershirt so that when Philip Rivers leads me to your rehearsal dinner.
Yeah, well, look at the schedule. Tampa Bay in week 13, at Carolina, Oakland, at Cleveland. It's really nice. They're also at Atlanta this week. Not too bad. They have Miami at one point. So nice looking schedule going forward. They do have Denver and Houston on the road and a bye, but not bad, not bad. I guess we can read some emails then, shall we? All right.
Yeah.
FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. This is from Chez in West Toronto.
Not dear, Shay.
Yeah, dear Optimus Prime, Megatron. Chez. What?
It's Shay.
What did he say?
Chez. Are you sure?
Well, when you go out to a restaurant or something, especially in France, it's Chez, C-H-E-Z.
One of the best wings places down here in South Florida.
Chez Porky's.
Chez Porky's.
But, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know that. Chez.
You're so bad.
Has Heath ever been there?
No.
Chez.
Oh, like
jeez. That's a good restaurant, by the way. All right, Chez.
What did you call Jackie yesterday?
Oh, Jackie emailed back. That's part of the emails. We'll get to that.
Sorry.
Shay in West Toronto. Dear Optimus Prime, Megatron, Bumblebee, and Shia I don't know how to pronounce his name. LeBeouf?
Shia LeBeouf.
It's Shia, that I know. I noticed that weekly Dave and Jamie's rankings are generally similar to each other, #Damie, but much less similar than compared to Heath's rankings. Can you speak to how each of you create your rankings?
Dave and I sit in the same room on Mondays, and we go over each other's picks. I don't know. We've been doing this for a long time together. We share a brain.
I think, like, Dave and I were talking about this yesterday. If you look at our rankings on Tuesday and you look at our rankings on Thursday, they probably get a little bit more similar throughout the week because we sit here on the podcast and talk for 3 days and think, huh, that's a good point. I should probably move him up, or huh, that's a good point. I should probably move him
plus
down.
Plus there's news that happens and you got to move.
But I think if there's one thing I've noticed that's probably a little different about mine is I may not adjust for matchup quite as much as Dave and Jamie do.
Well, you said something about Larry Fitzgerald, which I think speaks to how you rank. You say, I have him where I've had him all along.
Right.
Which means you're just kind of...
Right. I mean, I'll move guys up if they have a good matchup.
Obviously. But you kind of go with them. And you say, I mean, you've been pretty hard fast with Dalton.
Right.
He's been, you know, somebody you liked all season long. Ryan, for the most part.
Right.
You know, someone you've liked all season long. So it's almost, and you've been stubborn to a point, too. With Russell Wilson, you like him in tough spots, too.
Yep.
So. I think that speaks to you're a steady Eddie kind of guy.
Right.
You know, whereas I think, like you said, we go kind of a little bit more good matchup, bad matchup, good matchup, bad matchup. And, you know,
I can't watch every game on Sunday and Monday. So during the week, whenever I get to watching more of the games, I'll react to that.
Right.
Like I have a feeling I'm going to end up reacting quite strongly to the Steelers defense after how they played against Jay Ajayi last week. And might end up moving up those Patriots running backs in my rankings even more.
All right. Chip Myers, Melvin Gordon or Eddie Lacy rest of season? This was, I guess, before.
Great question.
I think Melvin probably is a little bit better.
Yeah.
Melvin Gordon or Nile Davis? Melvin Gordon or Don Jackson?
I think it's better Eddie Lacy or Danny Woodhead rest of season.
Jeez. All right. Brian from Washington, D.C. Should I drop Dwayne Washington? I actually inadvertently asked this. Should I drop Dwayne Washington for Nile Davis?
Yes.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Let me ask you
probably
a question.
If they told me today that Dwayne Washington played and practiced and is playing for sure this week, I'm not 100% sure I'd do it.
I wouldn't do it at all. And now that, Jamie, you're saying that Ty Montgomery and Don Jackson are getting first team reps with the
offense.
But
that's this week on a short week. He's going to have 10 days, Nile Davis, to learn the offense.
So you're thinking it's a
long
term play.
Yes.
Whereas Don Jackson, who they could have added last week, they were thin on running back last week and they didn't promote Don Jackson. I got to do research on Don Jackson. Ultimately, what it comes down to
he's
is
on the practice
he gets
squad.
The opportunity. Thank you, Adam, for that.
Yeah, I mean, well, what are you going to uncover?
You sound like the Blue Jays manager.
You don't need to do research anymore. Adam told you.
We got it all taken care of.
First of all, like, can we talk about how poor their roster management is? Oh, my God. Two running backs?
Not that bad, but yeah, you're right.
Unbelievable.
Well, they also got hit with a lot of injuries to their running backs all at the same time. So
to all two of them
for training for a guy.
Well, most teams
two
usually,
plus a guy in the practice.
Most
squad.
Teams usually carry three tailbacks and a fullback. You know, so
they had two and a fullback.
Right. They view their receivers, specifically Montgomery and Cobb to an extent, as guys that can handle touches.
This is not a situation. This is not a position that they should be in.
Well, I mean, the two comparisons are valid because Detroit also, you could say the same thing. They mismanage their running backs too.
Well, I guess it was a good trade to give up probably a seventh-round pick for Nile Davis. But all right, Ryan wants to know. I was just offered.
Nile Davis also makes an impact on special teams too.
I was just offered. Yeah, that's a good point. Odell Beckham for AJ Green. Who would you rather have?
AJ. Hate to say it. Listen, yeah. We can't be blinded by Odell having one big game against a banged-up defense.
I'll stick with AJ.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is from David.
Odell over AJ.
Does Big Ben's injury make Le'Veon more or less valuable?
Slightly less, in my opinion.
Yeah, of course. Just a matter of how long.
Everybody in Pittsburgh's value a little less, but it's temporary. It's not.
Le'Veon was very good though without Ben last year.
Who's the number one running back rest of season?
Don Jackson. David Johnson is still number one for me.
Over Le'Veon?
Yes,
I still take Le'Veon, but it's close.
I'll
take it with the caveat that Ben's back in week 9.
All right, this one is from Jaqui. I'm not sure you guys gave me any reassurance on my trade between Anderson and Ingram, but I just wanted to give you reassurance that I'm a girl. Just wanted to clear that up.
So thank you very much for listening, Jackie, and being patient with Adam, not being mean to him about the way he pronounced your name.
See, somehow Adam really hasn't done a lot of work with girls, so he's not familiar with interesting spellings or anything. Somehow he's engaged. He used to be a chauffeur for girls in college, as everybody knows.
But they didn't really talk to him, so he didn't learn their names.
That was good. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that's going to do it for today's show. The Jamie.
When's the last time you went outside?
Does taking the recycling out count?
When was the last time you went outside for more than 20 minutes?
Actually, I walked to a restaurant and picked up some lunch yesterday.
How far?
Quarter of a mile.
What was the lunch?
It was it's from a Dominican restaurant. It was a roast pork with white rice. Actually, I have some leftovers for
with
lunch
or without beer. Ooh, whoa.
Okay, that was goodbye, everybody. See you later.
I guess we know what Heath likes in his roast pork.
Bye. Thank you for all the birthday wishes.